Good morning, everybody. I hope you enjoyed your evening in Geneva. At least the weather was pleasant, so that was no obstacle to having a good time. We have a few agenda points to go through this morning. It's only a morning session. We're supposed to finish before lunch. And we will begin with agenda point 7B, matters arising from FAO and WHO. Consideration of requests for scientific advice. And as appears from the agenda, we have two documents. We have CX/CAC 10/33/15, and we have one addendum 1 document. This agenda point is for information, basically, but certainly if delegations have comments, we are very willing to listen to them and take note of them. And if discussions comes up, we will obviously try to draw some conclusions, but I don't expect that. It is basically information from FAO and WHO. So the session will start by asking FAO and WHO to present the documents, and afterwards we will open the floor for comments from delegations. I think we should start with the FAO. FAO, please.
Gracias, señor.
Thank you, Chairman. And good morning to all of you. And good morning to the interpreters. Good morning, madam. FAO and WHO are going to be making reference to document CX/CAC 10/33/15. We will not be considering Annex 1 because that relates to capacity building and that has been will be debated at length in the Commission. So, looking at document 10/33/15. This sets out in its first part a summary of the outcomes of joint meetings carried out by WHO and FAO with regard to provision of scientific advice to Codex, as well as recent publications and technical reports from these meetings, which were released during the reporting period. In section two of the documents, page 7 onwards, we have information on other related initiatives underway relating to this topic on the part of FAO and WHO. This is under paragraphs 13 to 17, and we will have the opportunity to look at these at a later stage. In section 2, we also set out documents relating to food safety, and which also cover scientific advice. In part 3 of the document, which we feel to be very important in terms of the Executive Committee's work, we set out two tables which provides the status of requests for FAO WHO scientific advice relating to the Codex in Table 1 and Member States in Table 2. I would like to extend my thanks on behalf of FAO and WHO for all those who have fed into this document information, and also to the various experts worldwide and institutions who have supplied information and data, and to donors who provided an economic contribution and a contribution in kind through the global scientific advice system GIFSA, or through direct contributions to FAO or WHO. This support is ongoing, and we have heard even today that continued support is on the way, with support from the US, for example, in the area of pesticide residues, and recently from Australia, with support for JECFA. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, FAO, for a very brief presentation of the document. Does that lead to comments or questions from delegations? That doesn't seem to be the case. So I think we should immediately continue with the WHO to FAO, sorry.
This presentation was on behalf of both organizations. Thank you, Chairman.
Sorry. Any comments from delegations? Doesn't seem to be the case. So we can finish the agenda point.
As we indicated at the beginning of this presentation, the issue of capacity building will not be discussed here since it is going to be presented in the Commission. So my presentation brings us to the end of this agenda item. I simply wanted to thank all of you for your cooperation and collaboration in terms of the Scientific Advice Programme. And I also wanted to express WHO and FAO's commitment to continued support for Codex activities through Scientific Advice, both within the committee's work and within the meetings of experts. We will also seek to engage in new working methods, for example, electronic working groups, to enable us to develop our activities. Thank you, Chairman. That's all for the moment.
Thank you, FAO. Okay.
Chair.
There is a comment from Vice Chair Benindo, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to get slightly more information from FAO on the current status of the very good initiative by FAO on the Global Initiative for Food-Related Scientific Advice, GIFSA. What is the current status? Are we getting some funds from there? Are we having difficulties? What is the status of that particular initiative?
Thank you, Vice Chairman Indo. Could I respond to the question, please?
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chairman. As the Executive Committee is aware, this is a joint initiative of FAO and WHO. We have presented some information on this regard in CAC 1033-9, which makes reference to the budgetary situation. I would like to clarify that support for scientific advice-related activities is being received by FAO and WHO through two mechanisms. One of these is GIFSA, which is an initiative which, as far as FAO is concerned, has accounted for a contribution from the various donors of around many zeros. $500,000, there we are. This is to date. This is through GIFSA. At the same time, our WHO colleagues have received direct contributions through the WHO general account, as indicated in paragraph 47, accounting for approximately I'm just trying to find the relevant information. If you'd give me a second, please. WHO indicates in this document that this is a general contribution. I don't know how much is earmarked for scientific advice, so I'm not in a position to give you an exact figure for the contributions for scientific advice. Perhaps an important point to raise under GIFSA is the issue of the value of the project being submitted to countries, donor countries. And in that regard, I would say that we're actually hoping for more donations, a greater volume of donations than we have in fact received. There is a need for a specific call to be made to countries in this regard. And in fact, 3 weeks ago, FAO sent out an appeal to various donors. The idea of this was to make them aware of the four-year FAO program to enhance scientific advice. And in response to this, we received an immediate response, as I mentioned, from the Australian government, which made a second donation to the fund. I would like to take this opportunity to tell you also that a significant contribution to the GIFSA fund has been the use of these resources for events organisation. We in FAO, for example, have used some of the regular funds to provide support for data generation activities in the regions. This is important because, for example, in the case of the Latin American and Caribbean region, we have been able to support through this initial fund information on Vibrio in mollusks and shellfish, with support given for a number of countries in the region. This means that the fund is enabling us not only to step up the number of meetings and the variety of meetings being held, but also to enable us within the regular budget or fund to earmark funds for the enhancement of scientific advice in developing countries. We're also encouraging countries to continue to contribute to the FAO WHO funds to enable us to continue our work. As we have always said, it's very important to ensure that there's increased participation by developing countries in meetings of CODEX. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. I hope that was proper response to the question from Vice Chairman Lindo. That means we can finish this agenda point. And I think before we do that, I'm sure that I speak on behalf of the whole committee when we thank the FAO and WHO for both the documents they have introduced to us, but also, and more basically, to the work they carry out in respect of scientific support to Codex Alimentarius. It's really a pleasure to see how much better systematized and organized it has become during the last years, which is a key factor in developing the Codex system in general, because without the necessary scientific support, well, we can't move anywhere on most of our subjects. We all know that. And we can only encourage still all member states to support the scientific work of the organizations, both in respect of funding for those who have that possibility, but also in respect of supplying the necessary experts, which is a key factor in the development of the scientific work. And we really, really hope that there will still be a lot of support globally for that purpose, and that will be further developed. That is in the interest of all. I don't think there's any more to say. The agenda point will come back in the CAC, where there will be possibility for further information and further discussion as appropriate. So I would like to finish that agenda point and thank you all for bearing with me for the agenda point that I have chaired, because now the next agenda point will be handled by Karen Hulebak, the real chair, as we express it all the time. So thank you, everybody.
Good morning, delegates. Thank you very much for the smooth course of the meeting so far, and I think we all owe our gratitude to the very good chairing of our three vice chairs. without whom that would not have been possible. So if you will allow me, let's give them all a round of applause. Thank you. The next item on our agenda, which we are moving through with admirable efficiency, is consideration of the draft provisional agenda of the 34th session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. I will turn the microphone over to the secretary, and she will introduce this item to us. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to everybody. This is a standard item on the agenda of the Executive Committee, which has to look, according to the procedure, at the agenda for the following session of the Commission. So that will be the 34th session. As we had indicated at the previous Executive Committee already, we mentioned that it would be held in Geneva. It will not be held in headquarters in Rome, because at the same time, will be held the FAO conference. So we will go back to the cycle of alternating between Rome and Geneva in 2012, where it will go back to Rome. And because in the future, the FAO conference will always be held in July. So that will, you can see the agenda. These are all the standard items. And in addition, there will be the report from the coordinating committees, and there will be the nomination of coordinators and the election of all the officers of the executive committee. So this is the usual agenda, and we are submitting for the views of the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Are there any comments on this provisional agenda from the members of this executive committee? I see none. Therefore, we can consider this provisional agenda approved. Thank you very much. I have a question sotto voce from a vice chair. The length of the commission next year will go back to the normal length of 5 days. Is that correct, Madam Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you can see from the dates, it will be 6 days from 4th to the 9th. In fact, the usual practice was that it was, in general, 5 days when it was in Geneva and 6 days when it was in Rome. That also depended. This year, we had asked for 6 days, but it was not possible because the meeting room was taken on the Saturday. So next year, it will be 6 days from the Monday to the Saturday, and they are the exact dates. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then we can consider our work on this agenda item concluded, and we can turn now to agenda item 9, which is other business and future work. We have, I believe, 3 items before us. One of them is the proposal from that came out of the retreat for the chairs in April, asking the executive committee to consider recommending to the Commission that the Commission ask the General Principles Committee to develop new possible options for the holding of physical working groups. And for your convenience, although I confess I can only do it in English, I have written this morning a summary of what the chairs propose, some ideas, some aspects of this proposal, which I will describe to you in some more detail. We will discuss this, take any comments you have, and see how to proceed, the chair's hope, with a proposal to the Commission. We also have before us the proposal from the member for North America, I believe, regarding possible options for use of machine translation, and we have CRD4, which does that. Thank you very much. Oh, let me go back. I'm sorry. The extreme lateness of my one page document can be included as a part of the report of this committee. This was the secretary decided this morning. We can just include it. It's short. It's one page. It can be just included as part of the report of this committee. CRD 4 describes ideas for use of machine translations by codecs. And then I suggest we take that up second. Third, we have discussion of the proposal from an information item, essentially, from New Zealand and Europe. Correct? Yes.
It's a matter for the coordinator for Europe, but I don't think it's a discussion item. I think it's purely a notification item, not for discussions, for information only.
Thank you very much. So, let's start then with the idea from the committee chairs that developed from our discussion at the retreat, to briefly recount our discussion at the retreat. We were focused on this at this retreat on how to improve the work of Codex through its committees. This meeting was open to all committee chairs, that is, chairs of committees, task forces, and coordinating committees. And we got, as I said, a very robust response. We spent most of our time working on understanding and building knowledge, understanding, and skills in negotiation as a process to be used by delegations when they work with each other to come to agreement in the process of developing standards, and for chairs, the skills of mediation, which work to help delegations work with each other, negotiate with each other, to come to agreements. In the course of that discussion, we recognized several key recognitions. One of them, the one before you today, really requires your endorsement and the endorsement of the commission. And that is that while the principles for physical working groups as laid out in the procedural manual are completely consistent with Codex core principles of openness, transparency, and inclusiveness, in practice, they perhaps aren't serving the needs of Codex as best they can for several reasons. The working groups have become oftentimes very large. They can be 50 or 60 people. And as any of you know, it is very difficult to draft text with a working group, a writing group of 50 or 60 people. So we thought about ways to reduce the number of people while maintaining or even improving the participation of all countries, member countries. Another core principle, of course, is openness and inclusiveness and the full participation of developing countries. We recognize as chairs that all too often, even though these working groups may be very large, the real participation from developing countries is actually quite small. So we thought about ways that we could improve on that. And we thought of some ideas, and they appear as possibilities in this description. We also recognize that the core principle of openness must be honored and perhaps even improved upon. So, just for your consideration and as examples, one idea that we put before you was the possibility of using an approach such as that used by another major international intergovernmental organization, ISO, which organizes its working groups by requiring that the membership of the drafting group, the working group, the physical working group be limited in number to, and our proposal would be, two or three relevant experts from each Codex region. This would ensure that the total number would not get very large, and it would ensure that there was actual participation from all the relevant, from all the regions. There would be an impact for this to actually occur, of course. There would be some involvement. There would need to be a practical arrangement with the trust fund, because the trust fund would need to ensure that participants from developing countries would travel to these working groups. But here we think that we would serve both goals. That kind of idea would serve both goals, making a smaller, more workable group and improving developing country participation. We thought to ensure openness and transparency, that perhaps rules and responsibilities that apply to the participants in the working groups could be developed that would ensure that the participants would circulate the draft to all members of the region. We know that there are a variety of ways that that goal could be achieved. Ours was not to figure out the details, but just to get to put the idea before you. Another possibility that came up, I believe, when I raised this issue on the very first day, was that if the general principals were given the job of developing a set of options, which could be in addition to the rules that we already have, in other words, this could be a set of options to be used in place of the current rules, but those current rules could still stand. One of the members of this committee raised that possibility that the use of facilitators should be included as another option to be considered should the general principals take up development of such options in a working group. So, if I have not completely confused the matter, I'll open the floor to discussions, questions. I can also tell you that there are several members in this room who are participants at that retreat for the chairs, and they can also help explain the thinking from the chairs that brings this idea to you. I'll now open the floor to your comments and your questions, and let's discuss this idea. Thank you. Representative of FAO, please.
Señora Presidente.
Madam Chair, I would like to start by apologizing for asking the following question, but as I didn't take part in this meeting and my colleague who attended is not here now, I have the following question. Who will be, in your discussion, who would be responsible for taking the decisions, who the experts would be, the experts that will be selected in a specific region, what criteria would be used for that selection? I think it was probably discussed, but I'd love to have a bit more information on that for the benefit of those who did not attend the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative of FAO. That kind of level of detail was not developed by the retreat. That would be the sort of thing that would need to be worked out through a working group in the general principles. There are clearly several possible approaches, and those ideas need to be developed, put out on the table, compared, and a decision made ultimately. Obviously, we need significant thoughtful consideration here, because we are raising some new ideas, but we believe that there are solutions to the questions that arise. But that is a very good question, and that is one question that would need to be worked through. Thank you. Member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm completely supportive of looking at new ways in which Codex can be more efficient than it currently is. One question. The problem identified was one of the issues was the large size of the physical working groups. Is this actually a problem? Because, I mean, I know that probably for transparency purposes, most or many countries will feel that they would like to participate in a working group, but how many actually contribute to the working group? So, say, for example, 50 asked to participate, do 50 put in ideas? Okay, right. We have large working groups, but how many actively participate? So it's just a question so I can understand the context again of this paper. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe. As is the case in almost any large group comprised to write a document, when there are 50 members, very few of those 50 actually contribute to the work. And an additional concern that we had was that of those 50, very few of them are often very few are from developing countries. So one of the goals of developing an alternative option would be to try to ensure that not only do we have a smaller group where there's a greater likelihood that all members would contribute to the actual drafting of text, but that the members selected through a process yet to be developed would have relevant expertise and be able to contribute in a meaningful way. So we would, at the very beginning of development of a document, have a document that really includes substantive contribution from all over the globe, from all parts of our family. I mean, that is the goal. Yes, Member for Europe, you have a follow-up question.
Sorry, just so I understand then. So, in effect, the proposal, we're still retaining the transparency, trying to find some way of transparency, but rather than including those countries who don't usually contribute to the working groups, it's finding a way of making the process transparent so those who would want to be aware of what's going on are aware of what's going on. So, in effect, you're not excluding anyone, and you're retaining transparency. So it's just, again, I just need to have that clear. So that's my understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe. We see this process as doing nothing to obscure the current level of transparency, at least to maintain it, possibly improve it. But we would do nothing to reduce it. Thank you for those very good questions. Coordinator for Europe had his flag up next, and then the coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean. And yes, around the room we will go. First, coordinator for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to share my experience concerning ISOWEC. I am attending every year ISO meetings, TC34, SC9, it means Subcommittee 9, concerning microbiology of foods and animal feeding stuffs. And as concern the procedure of establishing of working groups in the frame of our work, I would like to say that it is necessary to have at least five countries to establish working group. And usually the leader of a working group is chosen during the plenary meeting. As concerns experts, usually experts are nominated by national standardization bodies. It means experts are nominated later on, just the secretariat of ISO or CEN, just given an information and request to national standardization body to nominate of experts from national level. And in this way, I think the best experts have been chosen. And in practice, I think most of work during working out the standard norm is rely on the team leader or leader country. But of course, it is encouraged or is recommended that as many as possible countries should be involved in such elaboration process. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Coordinator for Europe. Clearly, the sorts of experiences that you and other members, I believe, of this executive committee have had with ISO can be instructive as we consider how to develop our own processes, which will surely be different, but will draw from that useful experience. Thank you for describing the several key factors that make the ISO process successful. Next, I'll recognize the coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean. Please, madam.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just wanted to seek a little bit further clarification and perhaps continue upon what was said in the April meeting. Indeed, it all started because we're looking for good practices being used in other organizations. And we realized that we chairs who were there, we realized that a lot of the delays in the working group were due to the high number of participants in these working groups who are present. Although they are present in these groups, when they go back to the plenary, they start making comments, etc., etc. So the working groups and other organizations, I think, are seeking to find a solution to the situation when one goes back to plenary. So that's why we suggest the idea of changing the rules of the working group somewhat, because that's not a good idea to have the same rules for committees, for working groups, for electronic working groups, or physical working groups, because otherwise, there'll be no progress made. If we change the rules, we would like to try to maintain transparency. Everybody should feel included, but move along faster in the work. Something else that was discussed and that is also mentioned, but perhaps not enough here, is the work of electronic groups. We gave the example of what was done at CCMAS, led by Argentina, where there was a platform set up of an electronic working group, and although the group was smaller, transparency and traceability of the whole discussions was there. It's black on white, and this was led like a committee meeting with a document, a live document there. So I think that would be an example, and I think that on Thursday there'll be a presentation on that website or that page and the new approach for these electronic working groups. Thank you, madam.
Thank you, madam, for your observations. Yes, we did discuss electronic working groups, and we discussed the example of the CCMAS working group led by Argentina that was very well received by participants. We felt, as we discussed the issue in the retreat, that perhaps we didn't need to ask for the executive committee and commission's approval to make available the software that manages such an electronic working group, but that the secretariat could make that available through its website, and I think that will be done. However, it's the will of this executive committee, if you members feel that additional work to focus on new procedures applying to electronic working groups are required, or whether we can just try the new software, that can happen without any procedural change. See how that goes, and as we discussed in the retreat, see how that goes, and then in 2 years we'll reconsider and see whether we need to make further adjustments, perhaps of a procedural nature, to further improve electronic working group working procedures. Thank you very much. Next, I will take the member from Southwest Pacific.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just for the members of the Executive Committee, I was privileged enough to actually participate in the retreat as a Codex resource person and to give a perspective from a host country and a Codex contact point. In answer to the member for Europe's question, I think all the physical working groups probably operate differently, and the participation rates differ depending on the chair and the people that are there. Certainly from my experience, the chair of CCFIX actually usually chairs the working group, and he endeavours to engage every person that's in the room, making sure that they do have an opportunity to provide general comments, etc. I think the important thing to note about this discussion that we had in Paris is that it's not to replace the existing mechanism. It is to give committee chairs and committee members an alternative option. In addition to ISO, we talked about the way that OIE does their drafting of some of their technical documents, the way that the IPPC also does their drafting. We also talked about the possibility of how the regional representation would be coordinated, and we thought that that it would be a good function for regional coordinators. And I actually think personally that a benefit from getting regional coordinators to do that is that it would get regions to work more closely together, particularly some of our smaller regions, but also the larger regions. And it would also give more opportunity for developing country participation. As noted in the Chair's summary, we also talked about the possibility of including some mechanism for the trust fund to be able to pay for participation by developing countries. The other option that we didn't actually discuss also is that if you're looking at a much smaller group, there's also the option of video conferencing. You'd have smaller groups, less time zones, so that could be a cost-saving mechanism, but again, it would increase, it would still be transparent. I'd also suggest that if we proceed to recommend to general principals to look at this further, that in doing that we make sure that they look at the mechanisms that are in place within the OIE and the IPPC as well as ISO. But I strongly support the idea that we should get general principals to look at these options further. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member for Southwest Pacific. Very good suggestions. Member for North America, please.
Thank you, Chair. And I would also say that we would support having general principals look at these and spend more time thinking about process, which then will give people an opportunity to react to that. And so I certainly think that's a good way to go. Just a question on transparency, and this may be understood, and I didn't understand it, but did you discuss or did you envision the possibility of having observers? In other words, you have a group of people who are actually working on the document. Would other people presumably be able to observe, or was that not discussed or thought through?
Thank you, Member for North America. That's a very good question. We did not discuss it. It is, I suppose, a question that could be considered by general principals. I hear some sounds from my right. Does the Secretary wish to make a comment? Madam Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, in fact, to the question put forward by North America, that was also my question, but perhaps not exactly in the same sense, in the sense of whether that would be only governments and whether there would be participation of observers, but in the sense of observer organizations. Would they be allowed or not? Because you have representation, but I was meaning rather the question about observers as in the sense of international organization, or do you consider this would be physical working group, it would be only intergovernmental? That was more my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I think this is a good question that would need careful consideration by the Working Group of General Principles. These issues have arisen before, and now we're looking at new options. They naturally, quite naturally, arise again. Thank you very much for that, for pointing that out. I know the representative of FAO would like to intervene, but I would like to take the comments from those members who've asked for the floor previously. And next, I would ask for comments from the member for Asia, please.
Thank you, Chair. My comment is based on my experience with the the chair of the task force on biotechnology, food from the biotechnology, and the very recent experience on the co-chair of the working group on microbiological criteria. As for the task force on biotechnology, there are lots of many participants, and that in my understanding, there's no problem with the large participation in the physical working group. And actually, it's a very delicate and complex issue. So to prepare for the plenary, it's for the physical working group, it's very necessary to sense what may happen in the plenary. So in that sense, I was present. I attended all the meetings and somehow made comments. And, it was very good. It's a very appropriate place for chair to what may happen in the plenary, and somehow the chair can, lead the debate. So in that sense, the large participation is rather contributed to the efficacy of the debate in the plenary. So that's one thing. On the other hand, for microbiological criteria physical working group, the contribution by the non-governmental organizations is very substantial and very, very valuable. And in addition, it's very, in a sense, it's very technical, and the delegates has to have some kind of sense of statistics or mathematics, etc. So in that case, the participants was about 15 or so, a bit more. I don't only remember, but if we look at the presentation from various regions, it may be somehow sided to North America and Europe and some Asian countries. But as a balance of the opinions presented, represented in the final draft document, I don't think so biased. And the other point I'd like to say is somehow the follow-up of the coordinator from Latin America, and I think the electronic working group discussion is very important. The prior debate and collecting the voices from various countries and organizations, and the chair group somehow organize the whole opinions and somehow drafted somehow in a structured way and present to the physical working group. So one of the important things for the physical working group is for the chair group to prepare something, the document which can be handled properly in the physical working group. So in that sense, I your the proposal I am reading here is somehow very procedural, and if we discuss in this way, what shall I say? I think we need to look at somehow more in detail and some flexibility. You see, so it, I think it depends upon the somehow of the nature of the fiscal working group, and we have to more think about, as Latin American said, the colleague said, that more use of electronic devices to prepare the fiscal working group. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Member for Asia. Your very good comments. As several members of this executive committee have pointed out, and as I will reiterate, the idea here is not to replace the existing rules for physical working groups, but to offer chairs and committees another option that they may use if they decide to, should they choose to. That applies as well to the option for electronic working groups. That option remains and wouldn't be changed at all. So the questions that you raise would be part of those worked through by general principles in considering development of an alternative procedure, and you're right, these are procedures. And would be an additional option for chairs. As some members have observed as well, experiences vary from committee to committee and chair to chair. And giving a chair another option merely increases the flexibility available to that committee, to all committees, and to all chairs. So we don't seek to limit at all, but rather to increase the flexibility and options for ways of moving forward. And your thoughts and your contributions, I would hope, would become very much part of the of what would be a vital discussion in general principles. The next flag I had wished to take was that of the advisor for Africa, and then I would take, no, and then the coordinator for the Near East. Advisor for Africa, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Perhaps one question would arise in the sense that as now there's this proposal which is saying representation from the region, now who would then be there to nominate the 2 to 3 experts for a region like ours, where if for sake of priority a number of countries are willing to send a representation of which usually is a national interest, does it mean the coordinator will be the one to start nominating, or the CCP will have to start a process where the coordinator will be involved, or how will the mechanism be? And this, in sake of transparency and encouraged participation, it might be something which might be affected. Who thought that perhaps that clarification could be given also be thought about? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Advisor for Africa. We don't have the answer to what procedures would be followed, what would be thought to be the best, but we know that in the course of discussion in general principles and more broadly in the Commission, we would have to come up with mechanisms that would satisfy all members that transparency and inclusiveness was maintained or improved. In that sense, we would, I believe, look at the current situation and ensure that whatever we developed would at least improve upon the current situation. Because it is our sense, I think, from my experience and the experience of a number of chairs, that oftentimes the desire for inclusiveness is there, but in fact it is rarely achieved. So we would hope to improve at least upon current practice. The means by which we achieve that greater inclusiveness and that greater participation would need to be worked out. But it is not for us to do that here. It is only for us to say, yes, if it is your will, yes, these are questions that are worth working on. They're worth thinking about, and they're worth trying, if possible. Thank you very much, Advisor for Africa. Again, very good questions, and would be subject to discussion by a general principles working group. Next, I would take the coordinator from the Near East. Sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I would like to echo the point of view that there's a need to pose this issue to the Executive Committee with a view to improving the working groups and the Commission's working methods in general, particularly when it comes to the preparation of standards. There are three points in particular to take into consideration, I believe, were this proposal to be submitted to the Committee on General Principles. Firstly, it might perhaps be possible to set up a smaller working group comprising 3 to 5 members who would not be representing countries but rather be selected on the basis of their competence in the areas covered by the working group. This would enable us to guarantee the transparency necessary. But would also mean that we would not be hearing country points of view. We'd simply see members being chosen on the basis of their professional competence. A second point, the work undertaken by these working groups following the preparation of the terms of reference for their functions would be able to make use of electronic procedures or other procedures as suggested by Argentina and on the website. The third point I would like to mention, which was discussed during the retreat, was the need to accord a more important role to regions and coordinators to enable them to transmit regional positions to the working groups. And this sort of method might enable us to improve the role of coordinators, particularly in developing countries. Yesterday we engaged in debate on the uses for the trust fund, and we concluded that this might be used specifically to enhance competences within developing countries, and we might want to focus in this regard on some specific issues as set out in the working groups, and this could serve as the basis for the capacity building being undertaken in developing countries to enable these countries to properly elaborate their positions and transmit those to the working groups. This would involve further regional work, and my proposal would be for regional meetings, short meetings, to be carried out to come up with issues that could then be submitted to the Codex Commission or the working groups. This would enable regions to adopt a unified position, which could then be passed on to the higher levels of Codex. This would also enable us to enhance participation of members in the Codex Commission, enabling them also to participate in proposals. I think these ideas would, as set out here, would enable us to enhance participation and would build capacity in general. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Coordinator from the Near East. Yes, indeed, the goals discussed by the chairs at the retreat are consistent with some of the goals that we talked about yesterday with respect to the trust fund and the emphasis of the trust fund to help build scientific capacity as one of the goals of the trust fund in the context of CODEX going forward for the trust fund. And the coordinator raises points that again, in addition to other points raised today, would need to be considered by a working group of general principles. If this committee can agree to forward this idea to the commission, and the commission can agree to recommend on further work by general principles. I see no other flags. Are there any further comments? FAO, did you know? No.
Chair, the point has been already made by the member of Asia.
Very good.
Thank you.
The member for Europe. I see your flag has flown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry. A point was being made. Just to get a sense of the timetable around this, because I'm not sure when CCGP is meeting next, maybe next year, maybe the year after that. So I think it's a good idea to, if the executive committee agrees, to sort of take this work to CCGP, but this may be a very long time being developed, which would be a pity, I think. But if we're stuck by the procedures, then so be it. But it would just be useful just to get a sense of the timetable that this could possibly, ideally, follow. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe. I think it is a bit of an open question, as you suggest, at the moment, when the next meeting of general principles would be. To a certain degree, the answer to that question depends upon what the Commission asks general principles to take up. I don't know, none of us know, what that will be. Would the Secretary have anything to contribute on this point? Or yes, okay. Madam Secretary, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the precise point of the timing of CCGP, as you mentioned and our colleagues mentioned, this will depend on the decisions of the Commission, whether the work put forward by CCGP is completed, and there was the committee itself decided that there was not enough items to justify a committee in 2011, and it would be in 2012, always on the assumption that all the items put forward for amendment to the manual would be adopted. That was the first point. So that, in any case, this proposal can be made to the Commission, and then we will see from the point of view of procedure and point of view of the Secretariat, we would like just to draw your attention to the use of the term expert, because we are normally intergovernmental organization. In committees, you have delegations which represent governments. Now, if there is a proposal to mention experts in the FAOWHO terminology, that means normally expert from expert committees or expert consultations, so that would be a little different. I need to raise this point because normally we are delegations in the committees, and that would be, from what we understood, it would be, for example, if the representative of a region would be the regional coordinator, that's also government, that's a delegation. So that's a little different from expert. So just to recall that fact. And the other fact is that perhaps if we, from a more general and strategic point of view, it's very important for the Executive Committee and later the Commission to reflect whether there is agreement to shift from an approach of discussion by countries from a discussion between regions. So that would be a very important shift. So that would be just to flag this issue so that we can think about it. But that was mostly from the procedural point of view, the fact of expert. So the different modalities, of course, that would be for the Committee on General Principle to look at. First, we will see what the Commission would say. And there is only a small point on process, because at the end of the paper, it's mentioned working group of the CCGP. We cannot know at this stage how the CCGP might wish to proceed, but in general, when we are making proposals related to procedures, that's normally prepared by the Secretariat with the legal officers, because we need some, of course, the views from the legal point of view. So that was just a note on the process, but that will, of course, depend on how the Committee on General Principles will wish to proceed. And perhaps when it goes to the Committee on General Principles, it might have still other ideas of anything that might be changed in the current procedures to improve work or facilitate discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Certainly, we don't know the answer to when general principles might next meet. If this committee can agree that this work is important to develop for the consideration of the Commission broadly, could it be a possibility that we allow ourselves the option that we suggest to the Commission that if it happens that general principles does not meet until 2012, that the job could be given to the Bureau to develop possible options for consideration by the Executive Committee? Is that a possibility? That, in other words, so we don't have to wait until 2012? Is that could be a possibility. That is a question for you, I suppose a question for the Secretary. With respect to terminology in this one-page document, certainly in attempting to get ideas before you for your consideration, certainly didn't intend to raise any substantive issues with respect to experts in codex terminology and procedural matters, much less to establish precedent. These are questions that would need to be worked through, clearly. On the point of the Secretary regarding the working group of the general principles, it is true that typically the Secretariat develops documents, but it is not always the case. Sometimes in general principles, there are working groups of the committee that develop documents. So that is an option for the general principles to consider should it be taken up by general principles. Advisor for Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having the benefit of listening to all of the interventions thus far, one of the things that occurs to me, and it is prompted by the question from a member of Europe about the timing for this work, much will depend, as the Secretary indicated, on what is the critical mass of work that might come up before the general principles, and you have offered a possible option in the event that the general principles did not meet in next year. And I think, that prompted me to think about really what we need. Certainly it has been helpful to have a piece of paper from you outlining possible issues and possible ways of addressing the whole question of the size of working groups. I think to help the discussion, it is desirable to develop the ideas a bit further. As I was reflecting on the issues that came up, really the critical question that you're seeking to address, if I might suggest, is how to get the job done. If the underlying concern is that working groups are getting larger and by inference more difficult to manage and ensure that we can in fact move the product further to the point where it can be then be useful at the committee level. It's a valid comment, but I got the impression that we don't know the extent to which it's a problem across the board in the codex system. So I would certainly think it is desirable to have the some of the issues explored a bit further, and also greater clarity on what is the problem we are seeking to address. From our perspective, it seems that, and again, this is something that we have used going back to the Meat Hygiene Committee, the critical interest is in developing the concepts and the ideas for advancing work. And that may not necessarily be something that needs to be handled as such in a physical working group in a formal sense. So there may be opportunities, and I think the evaluation suggested possible ways of addressing that, as I recall. So it seems to me that if we can somehow bring all of these strands together, that will probably help the process of having all of those issues on the table before the general principles as and when it's able to meet. So my suggestion is that it is desirable to have a piece of paper developed, whether it is by the Bureau or some other mechanism that's clearly, you know, open for, you know, I think, consideration. You know, but the important thing is to get a more detailed document for having clarity around the issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Advisor for Southwest Pacific. That sounded very close to volunteer. Idea, and it could only advance the process if we were to agree, however we move forward, either to general principles, if it's to be held in 2011, or some other mechanism, if it's not to take place until 2012, to further flesh out the ideas that would be taken up. And I would hope that this, as you say, that this could be done by the Bureau or by the Bureau plus members of this committee, quite possibly. You've just demonstrated the ability to think very critically and creatively about this matter, and I would hope you would be interested in taking part if that should be the way forward. Okay. But we'll need to quickly come to a decision and conclude this item and move forward. And I'll take a last intervention from the member for Europe. Sir.
This is not a creative solution at all, unlike my colleague. I was just reflecting that if it is going to take so long, I hear the suggestion that the Bureau could develop some rules, but having listened to some of the issues raised by members of the committee this morning, I think that would be a big task. And there are lots of some of the points of detail made by coordinator for Near East and Latin American Caribbean, I think to try and envelop all of those within a working document might be very difficult for the Bureau. My suggestion isn't creative, but if the CC Exec agrees and we make this proposal to the Commission, then in the intervening period, whenever CCGP meets, we could ask the Commission to ask committees that when they have physical working groups that they start collecting evidence on how those working groups have run, the difficulties that have been experienced, the good things that have happened, the level of participation. So at least any CCGP working group has that evidence before it to sort of make a running start rather than then sitting down and trying to gather that evidence. So at least we're preparing the ground, even if the CCGP meets in 2012 and agrees a working group, which would then start at the end of 2012, I guess. So at least it's an evidence-gathering thing, so they've got something to consider.
Thank you, Member for Europe. That would go some distance towards helping to address some of the issues and questions that have been raised by members of this executive committee. It sounds, though, that there is a sense that unless that the work needs to be taken up by general principals, there really isn't a way outside of that, to outside of general principals, to move it forward. Member for Europe suggests that this may be too complex a task for the Bureau to take up. But as I had suggested, I'd like to come to a conclusion on this item so we can move forward, make a recommendation, and move forward to the next item of discussion. So I would like to ask members, what would you like to recommend to the Commission? One, shall we, would the Executive Committee recommend moving forward with investigation of these ideas and concepts? And second, if the answer to that question is yes, what are the suggested ways of moving forward? The member for Europe has suggested one that would require the Secretariat asking committees to collect themselves their experiences, positive and not so positive, with physical working groups that would become information for use in further development. The other suggestion that was made was that the Bureau do work to try to develop the ideas further, which would indeed be a big task. I'm not sure it's worse than developing a strategic plan, but it would be a big task. I will take the member for Southwest Pacific and let us focus, please, on trying to conclude what we want to recommend to the Commission. Adam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's probably maybe a question for the Secretariat through you. If we agree that we want to recommend to the Commission that this needs to be looked at further, we need further discussion. If general principles doesn't meet in 2011, can the Commission suggest that it comes back to the Executive Committee for discussion? We have the benefit of two executive committees between now and the GP meeting in 2012. In terms of developing the ideas further, I think that the Bureau probably has had the benefit of the discussion here and the benefit of the discussion at the Chair's retreat. I think I don't think we'd be asking them to develop the procedures. I think the development of procedures is, as those of us who worked on the physical and electronic working groups, it is very long and withdrawn. But I think that the idea that that the issues need to be fleshed out a little bit more, and that the Bureau, and perhaps with the assistance of the chairs through the informal chairs group, that they can actually take some of this forward, and we could perhaps, if the Commission agrees that general principles doesn't need to meet, we could discuss this further in June next year. So that would be my suggestion.
Thank you very much, Member for Southwest Pacific. That seems to me to be a pretty practical and achievable approach. It doesn't require, as she correctly observes, the Bureau wouldn't be working out the sort of work that general principals would necessarily need to do. It would serve in part that an information gathering role and description of the problems and the issues. So in that proposal, if it is decided by the Commission that general principals does not need to meet until 2012, then the alternative approach would be that the Commission asks the Executive Committee to consider this item at its next meeting, and in the intervening time, the Bureau would work to further develop the ideas and describe the issues, the benefits, and the difficulties faced by the present means of working. Did I summarize that correctly? Okay, very good. Member for Asia, please.
Chair, this my comment is somehow the to support what Southwestern Pacific member said, and in addition, we can think about the when we discussed the on the consensus, we made the survey of the opinions from the chairs. So in that case, the same procedures can be taken, and it was Tom Hyland who took care of gathering all the opinions and made into a very beautiful format. And I think that kind of activity will be very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Member for Asia. That's a good suggestion. We will, I'm sure we can incorporate it into the menu for consideration by the Commission. Take the coordinator for Africa, and that, I think, will conclude our comments, and I will draw a conclusion. Thank you. Coordinator for Africa, please.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for my voice. I'm also coming down with the cold. I think in addition to the suggestions that I've made, with the coming meetings of the coordinating committees, it may be a good time to flag this particular item for consideration by the coordinating committees and get a feedback on how they see this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa. Excellent suggestion. It would be a shame to miss that opportunity. Very good. All right, then. We will propose, it sounds to me as though there is general support for proceeding with exploration of these ideas. We will propose to the Commission that the Executive Committee would ask the Commission to ask General Principles to take up consideration of this issue in 2011, if it meets in 2011. Perhaps I should have first said the Commission, we would ask the Commission refer the matter for consideration by the regional coordinating committees as a very first step. Then with that input, there was also a suggestion that a survey be done of the chairs, asking for their experiences with physical working groups, the challenges they've faced, the difficulties, and the benefits that they have seen, as the member for Asia has pointed out. Further, that in the case that the general principles does not meet until 2012, that the Commission ask that this executive committee consider it again at its next meeting in June of 2011, a year from now, and that in the intervening time, the Bureau, perhaps with the additional assistance of chairs of committees and volunteers from among the executive committee, should develop, taking into account input from the coordinating committees and the results of a survey, further develop the ideas, the challenges, the possible benefits, develop a more fully fleshed out paper for consideration by the executive committee for further development of this idea, ultimately for consideration by general principles in 2012. Can this executive committee agree with the summing up I just gave as our proposal to the Commission? I see assent around the room. Thank you very much. I hope that the Commission can be as enthusiastic about the possibility of looking for new ways to improve our work in the Commission as you are. Go forth and lobby. Thank you very much. Now that we have a clear conclusion on this matter, and I thank you for that, we will turn our attention to CRD 4. Okay. Thank you. I have been informed that we need to stop for a tea break and give all of us, and most importantly, our interpreters, a break. And so we will see you back here precisely at 11, 16 minutes after 11. Thank you.